Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by the IRR CEO, John Endres. Let's get into the news of today, and we're going to be talking about the state of the ANC and the position it finds itself within the country. So, on Monday, we had a long episode where we talked about the polling that shows that the ANC is in a bad place. Politically speaking, they are down to sort of 32%, with a lot of their voters moving from ANC voting, ANC supporters, to undecided, kind of looking around and thinking, you know, which party are we going to back next? And it's not clear who they're going to back. At the same time, the ANC is in fierce negotiations with its partners in the Government of National Unity over the proposed VAT increase. Originally, the ANC proposed a 2 percentage point VAT increase, which was rejected even by members of the ANC, but also by the DA and many of the other smaller parties within the GNU. The ANC has now come back with a revised 0.75 percentage points increase to VAT, which is obviously much better, but still not great. This is being opposed by the DA, the UDM, the IFP, the Freedom Front Plus, pretty much across the board. Everyone except, I think, Al Jamaha and maybe the PAC are voicing their opposition to this. This has led to speculation that the ANC is going to reach out to the EFF and ask them for help in passing the budget when it comes to Parliament. People inside the ANC have been saying that Ramaphosa's patience with the DA is wearing thin and that they may reach out to the EFF if support for the VAT increase was not forthcoming from the DA. The EFF, for its side, from Julius Malema, has said that no one has talked to them at all, and they will decide basically on the day as to what's presented in Parliament, so whether they accept it or reject it. At the same time, National Health Insurance is now facing its big court challenges, and one of these court challenges from the Board of Healthcare Funders is asking for Ramaphosa to turn over the evidence of his process leading up to his signing of the National Health Insurance Bill, which he is refusing to do. The Board of Healthcare Funders says this is because he didn't follow the correct process and didn't take into account constitutionality objections that were raised with the president, particularly from Treasury, who said that the NHI bill may usurp the power of the provinces in the sphere of health. So basically, John, it looks to me like the ANC is on the back foot in a very big way. And yet the party's response seems to sort of kind of be to just sort of bludgeon through as though nothing was happening. Is that a fair assessment? What do you make of all of this?
Now, that's what ties all these stories together, really, is that I think the ANC was hoping to bask in the warm glow of a successful G20 finance minister and foreign minister meetings. And instead, it's just been one, you know, bucket of cold water poured over them after another. From those polling results that you mentioned that, you know, showed support for the ANC dropping, to being challenged on NHI in court, to not being able to pass the budget and having to fish around for votes to pass the budget. Plus also we've got AfriForum and Solidarity in Washington and talking about how terrible things are in South Africa. You now have news of the DA going over as well to present its version of the story. And it's just a really tough time to be in the ANC at the moment. I think, you know, it seems like nothing's going right at the moment. Everything's going against you. And what do you do with the situation? You know, how do you find your way out of it? And as you said, the ANC so far doesn't really seem to have found a way to deal with the situation. What we're seeing is defiance, bluster, but not really a plan to deal with all these challenges. And I guess what is going to be an interesting question is to think about where the ANC will find itself within a month or 6 months. You know, is it going to be able to maintain its posture of bluster and of assertiveness? Or will it actually have to compromise and back down on some of the things that it really cares about? Another example, of course, was the World Bank report recently out criticizing BEE and saying, you know, all this race-based legislation isn't really helping your investment case. It's putting a brake on your economy and you need your economy to grow. You really should give this a rethink. So from all sides, the ANC is at the moment being attacked, not really finding solid ground under its feet, and to see what its reaction is going to be to all these challenges will be really interesting. In a way, I think that there's only one way for the ANC at the moment to rebuild its confidence and its support, and that is to move ahead with reforms. Like, you know, that's the only thing that's going to solve all of these problems. It will solve the financial problem on VAT. It will solve the attacks from the World Bank on race-based legislation. It'll, you know, take the sting out of some of the worst criticism in the USA. That's going to diffuse the threat from the DA. So really, like, it couldn't be more obvious what the ANC has to do at the moment, which is to move forward into the future, get the economy growing, and, you know, swallow those bitter pills that it needs to swallow to get investment into the country, to get the economy growing. There's no other way out at the moment.
It's actually been remarkable, I've noticed, in the discussions about the budget, is the finance minister, Ido Godongwana, who is very much in favor of the VAT increase, has been saying things like, oh, well, if we don't have the VAT increase, we're going to have to cut teachers and hospitals and all these things. And many different groups and parties have all proposed alternatives to cutting, you know, the popular things like teachers and school and hospitals and all that. The DA says cutting money from the CETAs, from the South African Defence Force deployment to the DRC, doing away with the Youth Development Agency. We've talked about getting rid of BEE premiums and other issues like that. And yet, it's so strange that all of those things seem to be kind of ring-fenced and protected very viciously by the ANC, while they'd rather cut these kind of social services that do actually do genuine good for South Africans. It just speaks to a party that's kind of so attached to its pet projects that its head is completely in the sand.
Yeah, I think it's also because it's dependent on patronage, right? So anywhere that it cuts, you know, somebody's going to be cut off from funding flows. And if you're already weakened, you know, after a catastrophic electoral loss, with your polling numbers looking even worse now, under siege from all sides, now to cut spending is going to be tough, because you're going to make even more people unhappy with you. So it really isn't an easy position for the ANC to be in at the moment.
Indeed. But once again, I think they are playing to an internal ANC audience of party members who are benefiting from that patronage network and ignoring their own voters who desperately want a VAT increase to be off the table. Okay, let's move on to our next story. And this is one that came through the Daily Maverick today, which is quite disturbing. It's been described by some as a nightmare crisis in the headline from the Daily Maverick. And that is that South Africa's National Health Laboratories are running out of snake, scorpion, and spider anti-venom. So apparently South Africa has a laboratory where we produce anti-venom from the creatures, particularly snakes, that tend to bite people. And there's at least 100 people every year in South Africa who need anti-venom to avoid serious injury or death from snake bites. And there are huge numbers of people across Africa who have the same snakes as us, and so they rely on South Africa to sell them anti-venom. And yet, due to delays in manufacturing and poor planning and stockpiling, it looks like South Africa is pretty much on the verge of running out of anti-venom. The spokesperson for the National Health Laboratory Service said that due to the extent of the work required renovating our labs, anti-venom manufacturing processes had to be temporarily discontinued during renovations. While in the middle of renovations, the project experienced delays due to postponed delivery of specialized equipment and the requirement to maintain required quality standards, both of which were aggravated by rigorous regulatory environment for sterile manufacture. During this period, the stockpiles of spider, scorpion, and polyvalent venoms were depleted. As a result, only the supply of boomslang anti-venom remains available for distribution. So it's not just a problem for us, because if a black mamba bites someone in Botswana or Zambia or, you know, even the DRC, they are not able to get another source of anti-venom. The only place they can import those from is North Africa or the Middle East. And often those anti-venoms don't work because the snakes are different in those parts of the world. There's a story in this article here of a Botswanan family who had a child bitten by anti-venom and sold most of their belongings to try and buy some anti-venom from North Africa, which didn't work because it wasn't the right kind of snake. John, this is just one of those stories where an avoidable problem has been created entirely. We have fallen into this trap entirely because of bad management, bad planning, and you know, the results are people are going to die from this.
And Yeah, it really is inexcusable. And you know, we've heard the quite inflammatory language from US President Trump, you know, talking about human rights abuses in South Africa. And in a way, this is a human rights abuse. You know, this is sort of not for reasons of ideology necessarily, but incompetence, not caring, callousness, not doing your job properly, and being allowed to get away with it, which you can measure the cost of doing that in human lives. And you know, what should happen now is that we should have a department that's going to ask the head of the National Health Laboratory Services, like, what did you get done last week? There should be a grilling of the people responsible for this in the National Assembly, and heads should roll. I mean, these people should lose their jobs. It's absolutely unforgivable that they would have messed this up so badly. But you know, knowing what we know about the way these things are usually handled in South Africa, nothing will happen. You know, it'll just there'll be the statement saying there's a delay. At some point, we're going to start manufacturing again. Nobody knows when that is, and those responsible will not face any consequences. And that's a huge problem. So that's one of the things that really needs to change in South Africa. That if you mess up your job so badly, you've got to lose your job. You know, and somebody else needs to be brought in who can actually do the work.
Exactly. The twin crises sort of meeting here of a weakness in middle management across so many institutions in South Africa, added to the just general lack of accountability. I agree completely. Heads need to roll for this kind of mistake, because this really should have been avoidable with better planning and better management. Okay, well, I think let's call it there. That's all for today. We hope that you found this show interesting. Please do subscribe to us or like us on YouTube or on the podcast apps. Please leave us a good review if you are listening to us there and you enjoy the show. And we will see you tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful day. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.